we had a wonderful time. I really enjoyed being here with the different messages that were presented and the fellowship we've enjoyed together. The reception has been really a great blessing. And when we come and hear God's word, that's only part of it. Then goes the doing part. And Jesus Christ said, those people who hear my word and don't do it, like those who build their house upon the sand, the wind come, the rain come, the flood came, and smash goes the house. But those who are the same people who hear the word of God and do it, a little difference. They're like those people who build a house upon a rock. The winds come, the rains come, the floods come, and boy, that house stands. And so as we hear God's word, at best of our ability, we should say, Lord, please, give me the grace to apply this to my life. We're going to turn to Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 15 to 21 this evening. This is the foundational aspect of what we've been speaking the past few days. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 to 21. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Let's please bow for prayer. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the privilege of entering your word. Thank you for the joy of receiving your wisdom and guidance and instruction on how we can live life and gain the fullest blessings of it. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit who wants to teach us and illuminate us, Lord, to understand your word. May you be with us this evening. May hearts be teachable. May your word go forth freely and understandably. May we have that desire, Father, not just to hear, but to apply what we hear. For it's in Christ's name we'll thank you and pray. Amen. In the book of Ephesians, in chapter 4 and onwards, we have it five divisions being set up. And it's all linked to the word walk. The word walk in Greek occurs five times. You have it in chapter 4 in the beginning. It says we should walk in unity as one body in Christ. If you work together, then the church goes forward. If you don't, then you're going to have confusion and problems start going backwards. Any team that has not worked together is a team that's doomed to fail. So the very first beginning says, now, as believers, walk in unity. And then it says also, walk in holiness. This whole world is full of corruption. Before we got saved, we lived in corruption. But now you're a saved person, you put off the old man, put on new man, walk in holiness. Then it says also, we should walk in love. Not with anger and bitterness, walk in love one to another and demonstrate that you're truly Christ's disciples. Then we're told also, walk in light, the light of God's word. Follow God's word. Let God's word be our instruction. Now, the last portion over here, in verse 15, we're talking about walking circumspectly or walking in wisdom. Then you give the instruction, verse 15 to 21, after that comes the application. So the instruction to wives and husbands and to parents and children, that's all an application of walking in wisdom. So if you want to know the foundation of having a godly home, this is it. Now, normally you preach this first, but I normally do things backwards sometimes, so this is done last. So this is the foundation of walking having a family, being built up in such a way, becomes a godly family, honouring the Lord, and really establishing marriages, relationships, and children. Now, in the beginning of here, it says, verse 15, see then you walk circumspectly. Sometimes the Bible uses words you don't normally use in ordinary life. And we kind of guess what they mean. Well, circumspectly means basically, I've got it here somewhere, there it is, don't live your life carelessly. There are many biblical principles in the Word of God, which be those people who are walking exactly according to the Word of God. That's a general definition for walking circumspectly. It says, not as fools. The word fools over here is the word unwise. Don't walk as unwise, those people who know the Word of God and ignore it, or those people who don't want to know the Word of God, or people who depend upon themselves. There is a way which seemeth right to man, and thereof are the ways of? Tell me. Ways of? Death. Finished. Yeah, you know it. I know it. So when we decide to walk in our ways, you're in trouble. Now, the Bible says, God's thoughts. God says, my thoughts, not your thoughts. Neither are my ways, your ways, saith the Lord. For the heaven is higher than earth. So are my ways than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we learn a lesson very, very plainly. If you want to live life today wisely, don't be a fool and go it alone. Be wise. Go God's way. So we're told over here, walk circumspectly, exactly as God says, not as the unwise people that make their own way in life. Absolutely. In Proverbs 9:10, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Lord is understanding. Now, we're supposed to walk in wisdom. Well, then walk in fear, in reverence. Realize you need God. You can't live your life without God. And that's the beginning point to understanding and obeying God's word. Then we're told over here now, there are four things we need to keep in mind. Just four characteristics of walking in wisdom. The first is this. We're supposed to be redeeming the time in verse 16. Now, redeeming the time means to buy back for yourselves those opportunities that have been lost in the past. I got saved when I was about 27 years old. I thought to myself, think of all that time I blew and wasted being unsaved. So you might think, well, man, I better get started, get stuck into things and get started and live my life for the Lord, not waste any more time. I need to teach my kids and need to do the right thing at home because I lost so much time being unsaved. I need to get stuck into it now. Buy back some of that lost time. You find a land developer, when he's building some property somewhere, he's got his eyes open anywhere for a bit of property that might be purchased so he can buy it now. So when he needs to build later on in a few years' time, he'll build. So he's not going to waste any opportunity. He wants to get stuck into things now. You find women, when they want to buy clothes and stuff like that, if they're smart, wait the end of season. When the prices go down, list 75, list 25, list 15, and bang, get them then. You buy something for a couple hundred dollars, that's cost a few hundred dollars for $10. So make use of the opportunities. So God says very, very plainly, redeem the time. And why is that? We're living in evil days. It's only getting worse and worse and worse. And if you don't do anything about it, you get the problems with increase and increase and increase. So now you do what you have to make sure you're prepared for these evil days. Now, blessing, blessing, blessing of being a Christian, where you have Christ in your life, guiding you, directing you, you have a beautiful church to come be instructed. You have the instruction of God's word. You have the fellowship of saints. You have the counsel of godly people. You have everything you need. People to take care of your children, take care of the wife, the husband, all this stuff. And you have such support. And there's training offered available. So any need whatsoever, it's available in church. So we're told very, very plainly, the days are evil. There's corruption. It's only getting worse and worse and worse. I mean, I'm not too sure up here in Melinda, but Sydney. No, it's just, I don't live there because I'm ministering. Otherwise, I would not volunteer to live in Sydney. It's the big smoke once upon a time. Now it's the big corruption. It's changed a whole lot. Well, things are getting worse. And by the way, when I go overseas Lebanon, I'm thinking, boy, I've got away from this corruption. It's there. I think, how did it get over here? It's there. The filth in America, the filth over here, the filth in England is being spread everywhere. So the days are evil. So make use of every opportunity to be strengthened in the spirit. And verse 17 says, understanding what the will of the Lord is. That's the second thing. Now, some people think, well, I know what God's calling for me is in life. This one calling. Forget about the one calling, will you? What's God's calling for you as an individual? First thing, obviously, to be saved. That's why Christ came. As a saved person, I've got a few things over here to keep in mind. As a saved person, God's will for us is that we grow to be like Jesus Christ. Now, that's first, and that's primary. It's not the last thing. Too many people think, well, what has God chosen me for? What do you want me to do? Where am I supposed to go? No. First thing he wants for you is to grow, become like Christ. You got little kiddies over here. There's Joshua and there's Noah. I know those two names, about all I know. What's your will for them? Grow up. You want to give them a ministry now? No way. Why? They're too young for it. Let them grow first. Yeah, but people are going to hell now. We're in a hurry now. Sure. But let them grow first. Once they've grown, then they can do something. The same with you and me. God looking at us, and he wants us to grow and become strong in the faith, then go forth and minister. Doesn't mean you wait forever and a day. The Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus, he got saved. And all the zeal he had against God was turned for God. That zeal was there from day one. God took him aside for 3 years to teach him. Then man bore into it, never looked back ever. Absolutely faithful completely. We're told in verse 17, wherefore be ye not unwise. This word unwise means foolish. Don't be a fool. Now, in the scripture, Psalm 41, the Bible says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. In his heart, the fool denies the existence of God. But then you think, in the Hebrew, the word is not there. It's understood. Literally, it says, the fool who said in his heart, no God. Not just denying God, defying God. That's the fool. He denies him and defies him. Well, when we ignore God's word, we're acting like fools. We're saying no to your word, Lord. We're saying, I don't need your word, Lord. I can do it myself. Man, no one wants to be called a fool. None. In Matthew 13:19, we have the story of the wayside hearer. When the word of God is preached, the seed falls on top of the ground. Satan sees it and takes it away. We're supposed to, in verse 17, understand what the word of the Lord is. Well, the word understand means to receive. Well, if we don't receive the word of God, Satan takes it and it's gone. You have people come to church and they hear what everyone else hears and go away with nothing. Or maybe forget in 5 minutes' time. Or when the time is required to apply the certain teaching, they've lost it completely. Why? Well, because Satan's come and taken it. Why? Because it hasn't been received. It wasn't welcomed in your life. If you don't welcome God's word, he won't shove it down your throat. God's not going to force feed you his word. He'll give it to you to take in. So it's up to you to have a heart that desires to understand God's word. Then you'll get it. So it's very important. It's up to you to be submissive and be teachable and be available, or you miss out. You get some believers, as in Hebrews chapter 5, being saved for many, many, many years and still thumb-sucking babies have not grown above that. And they still require to be taught milk of God's word and not strong enough to have the meat. Well, they're the people that cults pray after. They're the people, YouTube and the internet, so-called preachers grab and lead astray. I got some people in my church, not there anymore. Very, very, very lovely family. Lovely family. I praise God for them. Beautiful. But when it comes to maturity, every wind of doctrine they run after, they believe the earth is flat. And they'll fight forever to prove it. They believe there's no dinosaurs anywhere. That's something that scientists have faked up to kind of scare us, you know. Dinosaurs. Ooh, dinosaurs. They think that we're going through the tribulation part and we're going to be, as a church, raptured in that tribulation. So don't take the mark. Don't take 666. Don't take the mark of the beast. You don't do it. They're thinking about buying a property and storing up a whole lot of food, put on that property so that when the Antichrist comes around, they can be over there and be self-sufficient, not take the mark. I'm thinking, huh? Where'd that come from? Where'd that come from? Not the Bible. They misunderstand the word of God and not teachable to want to receive it. They're very happy to take something that is weird and wonderful and something that is solid, don't want it. Lovely people, very lovely people, really are. But unfortunately, they're people that have been deceived because they don't have that teachable spirit about them. Well, unfortunately, that's the way it is sometimes. We need to understand God's will by going in his word. And I've got over here seven things that's God's will for any believer. And the first thing is this. He wants us to pray. Psalm 143:10, teach me to do thy will. For thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Pray. I mean, God, what's your will for me? Lord, what do you want me to do? Lord, when do I start? Lord, how do I do this? How do I do that? Keep on praying for it. When I first got saved, I had no idea of the Christian faith. I never went to church, never went to Sunday school, had no idea about it. And I think, Lord, am I supposed to just go and come back and that's it? There's nothing more? I read my Bible. Is that it, Lord? That's what I was supposed to do? And I was after him for about 12 months thinking, Lord, is that all you want from me? It's all you want from me? Finally, at the end of that time, I found myself in a ministry, found myself growing, found myself studying God's word. After praying and praying and praying for over 12 months, I was led by a person to the Lord and left cold. No one went to step two. No one tried to teach me and disciple me. Just left cold. And that was it. So 12 months of praying, and finally God showed me a way to start growing and growing and growing. It's also after praying, they come to yielding. Don't worry about praying if you're not going to yield. You're wasting your time. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, God tells about the wonderful salvation he's provided for us. We are sinners on our way to hell. Then we are saved by faith in Jesus Christ. We're justified by faith, not through the works of the law. Then we find that we're free from the ministry of the law. We've come to know Christ as Savior. We don't trust in ourselves. We don't trust in the flesh. We trust in the Holy Spirit. And God will never, ever leave us nor forsake us. Like Israel, in the Old Testament, God elect people who he had chose. They went from him. They strayed from him. But he's going to bring them back and bring them back. God's so faithful, he's going to bring them back. They'll be his people again. He said, now therefore, because the great salvation you've received, I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, H-O-L-Y, holy unto God for your reasonable service. This is reasonable. It's not exceptional. It's not for pastors and for those who graduate from Bible college. It's anyone. And by the way, unless you do this, how on earth are you going to be faithful to God in your family if you won't give God your life now? How are you going to do that? That's prerequisite. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through God's word. And prove for yourself that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Then we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4:3, we should walk in holiness or have spiritual growth. It says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Abstain from this world's lust, the way they're heading. Another will for us is in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, that is giving of thanks always. In everything give thanks. This is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 to 15, we're to obey secular authorities. How on earth can you tell your kids to obey you if you don't obey the law? How? If you cheat and shortcut and sidestep the law, they say, kids, follow me perfectly, and you sidestep the law, they think, hold on. Discrepancy somewhere. Discrepancy. Always speeding in your car, not paying your tax properly, not obeying the law properly, always kind of skimper here and there with the law. And then the kids think, well, if this is obedience, I don't have to listen to my parents. This is obedience. In 1 Peter 3:17, we'll have to sometimes suffer for well-doing in order to present Jesus Christ to this lost world. And that's pleasing to God. We're told also in James 4:13 and 15, when you want to start a business, don't go in your own mind thinking, well, I'll go to such a place and I'll buy and sell and work for a certain period of time and then I'll come back and really enjoy my fruits. You don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. You don't know how long you're going to be around. What you say is, if Lord wills, I'll do this and that. I want to find out what he wants in my life and that's what I want to do. So why waste our time making our own plans when it could be so deviant from God's plans for us? So we're thinking about God's will for us, prayer, yielding, our spiritual growth, thanksgiving, obeying secular authorities, suffering for well-doing, and putting God first before our own plans. That's normal. That's normal. Now, if you want to set a good example for your kids, then seek the will of God for yourself. Then when you tell them seek the will of God, they know what to do. They've seen mum and dad do it. They've seen their older brothers do it. It's very important. They need not to hear God's word, but see it applied in the family. Then we're told the third thing, verse 18, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, some people have different ideas what this thing means, but we have an example over here. Don't be drunk with wine with excess. This is an illustration. Now, when a person is drunk, in a state where he doesn't think normally, doesn't act normally, doesn't feel normally, his standards are relaxed, he doesn't think long term, just impulses the type of things he does, he forgets his disciplines completely, he senses a deadened a whole lot. I got drunk once. I was in a football club, I wasn't saved, and we were on an excursion somewhere and they had us in a motel and guys were playing cards and handing out soft drinks. That soft drinks taste, ugh, bitter, pah, yuck. Anyway, drank it because they drank it. They were spiked. I don't drink. I hate the stuff. I hate the smell. They were spiked. They had one Coke and one orange. After that, man, I didn't know where I was. And I remember going outside, shouting to the friend, saying, "Hey, let's go sing the football song." This is midnight. We're in this motel area, singing. We're in the car park, saying, "Let's go sing the football song." And some guy comes out crazy, picks me up by the neck, lifts me up and says, "You and your football song," and drops me. And I'm thinking, are we going to sing or not? I didn't know where I was. I didn't know what was going on. I knew I went up. I knew I came down. That's all I knew. Now, we get to the point when a person is under the control of a substance, he's no longer in control of himself. The Bible says, be not under the control of a substance, but instead be under the control of the Holy Spirit. Let him so control you that you're walking by faith, not by sight. You're doing stuff you'd never ever dreamed you'd do. You never thought you'd have courage to do. Now you're doing it. Why? Well, because he's leading you. He's guiding you. See, this is not normal for me. I wouldn't normally do this, but I'm doing it. You think people go to the mission field because they've had the practice before? No. They've heard what God wanted. They've trusted him. They feel burdened to do it, and they get up and go. What's before you? I don't know. You've done it before? No. What are you expecting? I don't know, but I'm going anyway. What do you dream before you get to do it? I never dreamt ever I'd do this type of thing, but I'm going anyway. Why? Beats me. Just feel I have to go, and I can't stop. I have to go. That's the Holy Spirit. When he fills you and controls you, you're doing stuff you would not normally think about doing. Honestly, it's an experience that only when you yield yourself to God completely, this happens. So if you want to be someone in your family raising your kids up against the flow of society, you can't do what comes normal sometimes. You've got to do things differently. John 16:8, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit comes and convicts us of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Now, this world has got no idea what sin is, none whatsoever. And the Holy Spirit says, no, that activity is wrong. No, that activity is wrong. No, this one's wrong over here. No, those people wrong. No, we need to separate from this, separate from that. Think, well, what are you anyway? Just someone who wants to live pure, that's all. Where do you get these ideas from? Well, firstly, the Bible says that. Secondly, I feel conviction in my heart. Where does the conviction come from? Holy Spirit. Now, we're told in John 16:13 that the Holy Spirit will guide us into all truth. So we read the Word of God and we pray to the Lord. He illuminates it to us. It helps us understand it. Now, we come to church and we find what the preacher says, mate, you think, boy, that's exactly what I found out for myself. It should not be anything brand spanking new all the time, what you hear in church. It should confirm what you're reading yourself. Acts 1:8, he empowers us to go forth and preach. Galatians 5:16 is beautiful. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, that's the only passage I know that says very, very super plainly how not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit. And similarly, in the fruit of the Spirit, verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, when people are not doing right by you, and you love them back, joy, when nothing seems to be going well, peace, when all is wrong, long-suffering when the kids are disobedient like anything, gentleness the way you reply, goodness, not rendering evil for evil, faith, trusting God, meekness, being so gentle, temperance, being self-controlled. Now, all these different things come from being filled with the Holy Spirit. They don't come through willpower, through strength. No way. Only as the Holy Spirit takes control of you, takes control of your heart, then you find Christ in you starts to come out. In the Romans chapter 7, we're told about defeated Christians. In their mind, they want to do what's right. The good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Why? Sin, my sinful nature, dwells in me. No matter how hard I try in the flesh, I can't win. I want to do what's right because I'm saved. But my body doesn't want to obey. So the fight's on, there's a warring on. How do I win? When I yield to the Holy Spirit. When I allow him to control me, then I win the battle. That's the only time I win the battle. Otherwise, I lose. The Apostle Paul, he wanted to go and minister on the second missionary journey. So he goes to Asia. The Holy Spirit says, no. Goes around to Bithynia. No. Ends up in Troas thinking, what am I going to do now? Has this vision. Man of Macedonia saying, hey, come over to us. Now, this guy took the Holy Spirit and he went to places where there are unsaved people. The Holy Spirit said, no. They're all unsaved people. I'm saying, no. Someone else will go there. You go someplace else. We find there's Philip the evangelist. He's preaching in Samaria. Great revival is on. People are getting saved and baptized. Wonderful. In the middle of that, the Holy Spirit says, Philip, says, yeah, go. What? Go. Where? The desert. Desert. Now, hold on. Something wrong over here. It's Satan who says, leave the work of God and go to the desert. The Holy Spirit said, no, 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 no. Leave the work and go to the desert. I've got a job for you. So he followed the Holy Spirit, went to the desert. Then the Holy Spirit says, now there's a chariot coming by. Go join yourself to it. He obeys. Someone gets saved. That someone goes to Ethiopia. He goes off rejoicing unto Caesarea. Now, the way God works sometimes doesn't seem to make sense to us. It doesn't have to. Just obey. Just obey and go. Signs are being filled. We find we're speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always. These are signs of being filled. Now, when someone's going through a hard time and is praising God, when someone just lost everything and he's just singing thanks to the Lord and giving thanks for all things, when someone's going through atrocious suffering and he can't stop giving God thanks, is that guy nuts or what? No, he's not nuts. He's controlled by the Holy Spirit, realizing, listen, God's in control. You don't know what's going on. He's in control. And even though you can't make sense of what's happening, he does. He does. And leave him in control and he'll take care of all things. We've got in the Bible that wonderful saint of God, Job. And Job, the Bible says at the very beginning, God says, Satan, you consider my servant Job perfect, upright, fears God, eschews evil. That's God's word. That's God's word of Job. And this man was so faithful. He wouldn't put a foot out of line consciously. And when Satan went along and took away all of his property and killed his 10 children, he tore his clothes and he shaved his head. He went in the dust as well. God gave me everything. God takes. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Never sinned at all. Then Satan says, skin for skin. Let me touch his body. Let me touch his life and he'll curse you to your face. God says, okay, touch him. Touch him. But you can't kill him. And so Satan gives him boils from top to bottom, pain so much he scrapes all the boils off with a potsherd. He's in the dirt and dust. His friends come to console him. And 7 days they couldn't open their mouths. Why? Because of the great suffering they saw him in. And his wife said, why don't you just curse God and die? He said, woman, we were supposed to receive the good things from God and the evil too. He never sinned in his mouth. Now, why did this guy go through this? Well, God was simply going to show Satan he's going to lose. That when God saves someone, that's the trophy of God's grace and Satan can't touch that. And God came to Job, did a great work in his life. No matter what Satan did, he was still firm to his faith in God. See, Satan, you're a loser. That's what God was saying. Now, Job didn't know God was doing that and God never ever told him that. He went through all his life, many months of suffering and all his life not knowing why I went through that. His friend said, you sinned, you sinned, you sinned. He said, well, I don't remember sinning. You sinned, you sinned. I don't remember, I don't remember. Well, sometimes it happens to us. We can complain and whinge and moan and groan. What for? God is in control. There's none greater than he. None can topple him off his throne, none. So if your trust is in him, then you'll find, okay, Lord, no matter what I'm in, I'll trust you completely. Jesus Christ, the Son of God on earth, absolutely filled with the Holy Spirit, filled with power, filled with grace, filled with everything. And he went through such hard time. He was a pauper in this world's estimation. He walked everywhere in all his ministry. The only one time we hear him riding is that last 2 kilometer trip from Mount of Olives down to Jerusalem. That's the only time. And that's the fulfilled prophecy. The rest of the time, he walked everywhere. Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of kilometers. He ate like anybody else. He accepted the offerings of people. He had his treasurer gift to people and give them and help those who are out. He served people. He ministered. He never charged 1 cent for all his miracles he did. Not one thing. Not one. And yet the life he led ended up in suffering, torture, crucified to a cross, laughed at, mocked at. Well, but Jesus knew why. He was that lamb that takes away the sin of the world. He knew why. And so he endured it. Why? That's the fast of the Father's will. He said, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. So when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do weird things according to this world's estimation. But you're living perfectly according to God's estimation. And God worked all things out for his glory. The last thing we're told over here, verse 21, submitting one to another. Each one submitting to each other. Each one a servant to each other. In Mark chapter 10, 42 to 45, we have the disciples of Jesus coming to him. You have James and John. Another passage talks about their mum coming to and saying, can we please sit on your left-hand side and right-hand side in heaven? Can we have these great big positions of authority in heaven? And Christ said, you don't know what you're asking for. Firstly, this position is only to be given by my Father. And plus that, to have this great position is going to call for great suffering. Can you be baptized with baptism I'm baptized with? I said, yep, yep. He says, you shall be. But to give you that position, I'm sorry, it's not for me to give. But then he gave an example of greatness. If you want to be great, be a servant one of another. If you want to be chiefest, use the word over here, be a doulos, a slave. In other words, in this world's estimation, the servants are nothing. But in God's estimation, the humble person will be exalted and the proud will be put down completely. Now, we're supposed to be those people who come to God as nothings, as dirt and dust, say, God, I'm dirt and dust, but if you want to use me, I'll do my best for you. And God says, great, I can use you. When you find that King Saul on the throne over there, being approached by Goliath, everyone was scared. This boy comes around with a stone and a sling, says, I'll take him on, I'll take him on. And Goliath comes to him with a shield and a sword and all that armor upon him, and the faith in his gods, and David says, I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God. This little sling is just extra, that's all. I don't even need this little sling. But I'm coming to you in the name of the Lord God. And God took that sling and made the gun, right in his head, sunk deep inside his head. He went down, got his sword and cut off his head completely. And that little kid held the head of that soldier, that massive giant soldier, and people so feared, the Philistine army ran away. Now, people would say, David, you're a fool. You attack a guy like that, you're a nutcase. No. I'm just going by faith. That's all, going by faith. I'm standing for the name of God. He's mocking my God. How dare he do that? No way he's going to do that. And God used that gentle, that sincere, that simple heart to go and do a mighty work. Now, that's us being submissive. Submissive to God, yielding to the Holy Spirit, desiring his will in our life. Now, in this context, it says, now I'll give you an example on how to walk in wisdom. Wives, you want to be very, very wise? Submit to your husbands. Husbands, you want to be wise? You submit to your wife's needs and you love them sacrificially. Kids, you want to be wise? Well, you go ahead and honor your parents, obey them, do what they tell you to do, because they're going to raise you up properly. Fathers, you want to be wise? Don't you dare incite them to anger. But bring them up through the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Servants, you want to be wise? You obey your employers. If you can't obey them as under Christ, quit the job and go someplace else. And you masters, your employers, you take care of them as unto Christ. Don't you? Because you've got Christ over your head. So we have over here this passage of wisdom. If we're going to be faithful in the area of the home, we need to be those people who are committed to walk in wisdom according to God's word. There's no other way. There's no shortcuts. If you desire a life of righteousness, forget about trying to build your family up for the Lord. It won't happen. So you can't say, I don't want the life of righteousness, but I want my family to honor God. Forget it. It doesn't work. It's a total package. Either I walk with the Lord in all points. He's going to bless me here, here, and here, or I'm going to lose it. Because if you simply say, I'll do this, God, but not that over there, Satan says, okay, I'll come in through this open door over here and I'll ruin your life completely. So it's an all or nothing thing. So the Bible says, walk in wisdom of God's word. You trust in him. You redeem the time. You seek his will. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Submit one to another. And you see the difference that God will do through your life. Let's bow for prayer, please. Our loving and glorious Father, we truly thank you for all your blessings upon us. Thank you for the great salvation we have in Jesus first and foremost. Thank you, Lord God, for you want to transform us into the image of Christ. You call us saints when we come to know you as Saviour. we become those who are being sanctified. We're set apart in position, and we're set apart in our practice also as we draw closer to Thee in our daily lives. Give us the grace, Lord God, not just to desire what's right in our mind, but to yield our bodies unto Thee, so through the filling of the Holy Spirit and the guidance of the Holy Spirit, we can actually fulfill Your will for us in our lives. Thank You, Lord, very much. Give us the grace, Lord, to raise godly homes for Jesus Christ. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.